us take the message of hope to the lost world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jeff. Well, the end of chapter 3 here in 1 Peter contains probably one of the most difficult to understand accounts in the entire Bible, namely the imprisoned saints and what, why, and when Jesus went and preached to them. And while many a Bible scholar has tried to figure out the details of this passage, the actual content and purpose of these verses is very plain and simple. Peter, his main point in writing this, recording this, his main point is that Jesus is our example of ministering in this world. Okay? He's been describing that, in fact, since verse 21 of chapter 2. And there we are told directly that we as believers are called to suffer for good because Christ did. He's our example. Peter then lists numerous ways in which we should follow in his steps. In verse 17 of chapter 3, he tells us that it's better to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. In verses 18 through 22, Christ is our example, really, of why it is better. And that's Peter's point here. That's his point of the end of this chapter. Christ is our example. In fact, we're going to park on verse 18 this morning, but in verse 18, he is our example of suffering. In verses 19 and 20, as Jeff read, Christ is our example of preaching. In verse 21, he's our example of transformed life. In verse 22, he's our example of ascending. And that really, again, that's Peter's main point in this passage. Christ is the example for us in ministering in this world, and really why we should. And we're going to spend a bit more time looking at the difficult aspects of that passage. It's actually going to be after the first of the year now, because I've got a specific Christmas sermon next week and then following a New Year's sermon. But after the first year, we're going to look at the details of the end of this chapter. But for today, just for this morning, we're going to park right on verse 18. And although the end of the chapter contains one of the most difficult to understand accounts, probably in all of Scripture, it begins, verse 18 is perhaps the clearest and simplest explanation of the gospel in all of Scripture. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Look at verse 18 again. It says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." And that's what we're going to look at this morning. So Peter's point, though, is that Christ is our example, and I guess illustrate that to begin, because he is our example of suffering, and that is what verse 18 is all about. And he's suffering for doing good. And as we place our faith in him, we are called to do the same thing. So I do want to talk about that for a minute before we get into this. Now, back when I was in elementary school, this is actually a story that I told at middle school camp a couple of years ago. But back when I was in elementary school, there was a young lady named Lisa, and she had Down syndrome. But as a result of that, as kids all too often do, she was picked on. She was called names by the kids. She was made fun of. Jokes were told about her. Sometimes they would even pick on her physically, tripping her, pushing her down. Kids can be mean. Kids can be mean. You guys know what sand burrs are? Some of you from this area may know because they're common here, but it's a grass-like sticker, and it grows up into a head with a bunch of balls at the end of it that have very, very sharp, tiny stickers on them. Well, back when I was in elementary school, we used to pick those and throw them at each other, right? That's what little boys do for entertainment. But one day out on the playground, I came upon a group of about 10 boys and girls, and they had Lisa cornered in one part of the playground, and they were picking these stickers and throwing them at her. She had them all over her arms, her clothes, her hair. She was trying to pull them off, and she was crying because it was very, very painful. However, there was a young man who wandered upon this about the same time that I did, and his name was Shane. And he immediately jumped in between the crowd and Lisa, and he began to protect her. He began to swat the stickers away as they were flying by, having many of them stick to him in the process. And he did that. He stayed there. He was vigilant. He stayed there until the kids got bored and left. But my point here is that he's suffered for doing good. And I remember even to this day, this was back in third grade, and to this day, I remember his example. Now, I'm not trying to make more of this than it is, my story, I mean, but that is similar to the example that Christ set for us. Peter's point is that he is our example of suffering for doing good. And verse 18 describes the gospel. We're going to, as believers in Christ, we are commissioned to go out into the world and proclaim this great news that we're going to read about here in a minute. And as we, just before we get into it, I think it's vital that you and I know that as we do that, share that good news, that news of eternal life, that news of forgiveness from sin, that news of being with God forever, we're going to be hated for it. We're going to suffer for doing good. I may, at this point, suffer for doing good. Maybe after I preach this message today, someone's going to come up to me and be angry with me, hate me because of what I've said. I don't know. But this is a critical message. This is a critical message. Verse 18 gives us the details of the most simple and needed message the world has ever heard. You see, Christ, he died for the weak. He wasn't just there to protect and swat dangers away from us. He died for the weak. He died for the ignorant. Christ even died for the wicked. Christ died for you. He died for you so that you might know how much God loves you and perhaps change your mind. We're going to look at verse 18. We're going to look at what Christ did for us this morning, and so that you might change your mind and see how much God actually loves you, what he's done for you this morning, rather than getting angry at this message, rather than hating this message, rather than rejecting God himself and this gift of his son. You see, Christ is our example. That's our subject this morning. He's our example of suffering. And verse 18 gives us, really, we're just going to look at two details. It's a short verse. Two details concerning that. And the first one is this. Christ suffered once for sins. Christ suffered once for sins. For our sins. My sins, your sins. Do you have any sinful regrets? I do. I regret not being the one to help Lisa. While I did not participate in throwing stickers, I did nothing. I stood there and I watched. I regret breaking into an old shuttered store when I was a teenager, stealing merchandise and then giving it to my family as Christmas gifts. Just another day in the life of sinful old Craig back then. I regret doing that. I regret my abuse of alcohol many years ago. I regret the many times I've hurt Janine with sinful things I've said or done. I regret the anger that I often displayed and exercised against my children when they were small. And these are just some of the things that I dare tell you. I know the thoughts that I have sometimes. Sometimes I wonder, why? Why am I thinking such an evil thought? Why am I dwelling on such a disgusting thing? I know the hurtful words I've said to people. I know the pain. Maybe not even all of it, but I know the pain that I've caused others. I know the sinful things I've done and how they've affected others. I know the secret things that I've done, those things that I don't want people to know about. And I know you've got them too, because we're sinners. And those things deserve justice. Many of those things perhaps we think we've gotten away with in this life. But those things deserve justice because they've all been done against God too. Those wrongs must be paid for. God is a perfect God. He's perfectly loving, but he's also perfectly just. And therefore, nobody is getting away with anything. Let me read you a couple passages. First one from Galatians 5. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." In Revelation 21:8, it says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire," the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. That's a place of separation from God. That's what sin deserves. Well, Jesus, God's Son, came to pay the price for our sins so that we would not have to. In fact, Romans 5, 6 through 8 puts it this way. It says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." That's us. That's us. It continues, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You see, Jesus did suffer. He suffered. He was hated for doing good, for preaching good. He was hated. He was maligned. He was falsely tried. He was mocked. He was beaten. He had his flesh whipped until his bones showed through. He was spit on, disrobed, and then had huge iron nails driven through his hands and feet into wooden beams, stood upright, left to hang there in public shame until dead. He suffered, but he suffered once. And this is important because what we learn here, right here in this passage, says he suffered once. It communicates his value. This Jesus is God come in human flesh. This is the one true and living creator of everything, the all-powerful, all-knowing God who left his eternal dwelling place in the heavens to come to earth to be a human being so that he could die for you. Once. Every Old Testament sacrifice, all of the animal blood that was shed was actually a picture of what God himself would do for you and I one day. And Jesus did it. In fact, I want you to listen to Hebrews 10, verses 4, 5, and 10. It says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.'" Jesus suffered once. It communicates his value. All of the blood in the world could be shed and it wouldn't pay for a single sin. But the Son of God comes, suffers once on the cross, sins are paid for. And then we need to note that Jesus suffered once for all sins. This is important because it communicates his efficiency. You see, Jesus is enough. He's enough. And only Jesus is enough to pay for every sin of every man, woman, child, past, present, and future. He is enough to pay for your sins, my sins, and the sins of the world. And only Jesus is enough. And that is why God sent him. I want you to listen. This is Jesus speaking in John 14:6. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me." Hebrews 9:12 says, "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all." And our passage here in 1 Peter says, it was the just for the unjust. The just for the unjust. The sinless one. The only sinless person that ever lived, the only sinless person who is enough value, has enough value to pay for every sin of mankind, died for the sinful, the just for the unjust. The strong died for the weak. The only perfect one died for the sins of the imperfect many. When we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. All of those regrets, all of those shameful things that we've thought said, and did. All of those sins that we would never even want anybody to find out about. Jesus knows. He knows. And he died to pay for them. To forgive them. To wash you clean of them. To take the guilt away and forgive us of them. Christ suffered once for sins. And then secondly, this morning, and this is where it gets personal. This is the part that I had a difficult time understanding, all right? Christ suffered once for you. It isn't just that this was an event that took place 2,000 years ago. This was an event that took place 2,000 years ago for you. You. For me. That's why it happened. I remember vividly the day that dawned on me. I knew my sinful state. Some of the things that I had done in my life were so bad that I thought, I don't think that could ever be forgivable. And I was about 28 years old at this point in time. But I also knew, I had learned that the Bible says Jesus died for sins. But I remember the day that I realized that he died for my sins. I was on the phone with my next older brother who had placed his faith in Christ about 10 years earlier. And I remember asking him, I said, all right, I hear what you're saying. But tell me again, why did Jesus have to die? It wasn't getting through. So he quoted, as many of us have heard, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And my brother explained, once again, God not only made us, but he loves us, and he wants us to be with him forever. But sin has made us imperfect and unqualified to live forever in the presence of our perfect God. So he sent his perfect Son to take our sins upon himself and die the death that we deserve. And then my brother did this. He read John 3:16 to me again, except he read it this way. He said, for God so loved Craig that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Craig would only believe in him, Craig would not perish, but have everlasting life. And I got it. I got it. I remember hanging up and I thought about it for actually a few days. But as I pieced this together, I understood it and I believed it. I placed my faith in what Jesus had done for me. It wasn't just an event in history now. This was a personal transaction between my God and me. He had done that for me. And then as I shared that with my brother, it was a week or so later, I called him on the phone and he asked me, do you know what that means? And I'm like, oh, great. Another quiz question here. What another deep theological point I need to understand. He said, no, do you know what that means? And I said, well, I thought for a moment. I said, well, I think it means I get to go to heaven because of Jesus. I think it means that I'll be with God when I die. And he said, that's exactly what it means. That is exactly what it means. For God so loved Craig that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Craig would only believe in him, Craig would not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a promise. It was a transaction that took place between my heart and my God. And in that moment, I became a child of God forever. For Christ, 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." Wow. Jesus wants to bring you to the Father, just like he wanted to bring me to the Father. But this implies that if you have not trusted in what Christ has done, you currently don't belong to him. He's offering us this free gift, and we receive it by simply placing the full weight of our trust in what Christ has done for us, not in anything else. Nothing else. Jesus suffered so that you could. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." Jesus gave his life for yours. Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us, that he might bring you to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. He wants to bring you to the Father, so Jesus was put to death in the flesh. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." Nobody is getting away with anything. Because God is a just God, sin must be paid for, and we will either pay for it ourselves, or we will receive the gift of Christ paying for it for us. Jesus loves us. He paid the way with his own death. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." In 1 John 3:5, it says, "He was manifest." God was manifest in the flesh to take away our sins. 1 John 3:16, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." He was put to death in the flesh and made alive in the Spirit. And this is, it's good news already. But this makes it great news right here. 3 days later, he rose from the grave, proving that he is God come in human flesh, and proving that he could defeat death for us. Proving he could offer us eternal life, because he has it. He rose from the dead. Acts 2:24 says, "Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." 1 Thessalonians 4:14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus, those who have died in Jesus." In other words, yes, we may physically die in this life, okay? In fact, Jesus in John 11:25 put it this way. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Christ suffered once for you, the just for the unjust, that he might bring you to God. And that gift is received by simply placing your faith, the full weight of your faith, not in what you've done, not in what you haven't done, but in Jesus, the Son of God, the full weight of your faith in Him and what He has done for you. And when you do that, and only when you do that, you are given the gift of eternal life. It is yours. It is a promise from God to you. Not because of what you've done, but because of what His Son did for you and you receiving that gift. Christ died for you so that you might know how much God loves you. And perhaps if you've never done so before, that you might this morning change your mind and come to God rather than reject Him. Place your faith right in the privacy of your own heart. Place your faith in God's Son. Thank God for Him. He did that for you. And by doing that, you become His child forever. I don't know if this is new information to some of you. Maybe you've heard this message time and time and time again. Maybe you've grown up even going to church every single Sunday. But my question to you this morning is, have you placed the full weight of your trust in Christ alone for salvation? Because that is the only way. The only way to the Father. It is the only way to become an eternal child of God. Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Life is short. It could end for you or me tomorrow. Today. Life is short, and eternity is a really long time. And we can either pay for our own sins and be eternally separated from God, or we can receive God's gift of salvation through His death and be with God forever. These are the only two options. They're the only two options. It's estimated that there are almost $30 billion in unused gift cards here in the United States. $30 billion of unused gift cards here in the United States. That's $30 billion that someone, well, not just one person, but someone paid as a gift for another person. They gave that card to the person, and the person never used it. Currently, almost $30 billion worth just in this country. Have you got a card at home that maybe even has expired? Someone paid that for you. What a waste. Life has an expiration date. And we don't know when it is. And Christ has bought you a gift with His own blood. You have right now the free gift of heaven that is usable. It's been purchased for you, usable by simply trusting in Christ before you die. And again, that could be today. And in the history of the world, billions of people have wasted it. They've rejected it. Don't be one of them. Don't be one of them. John 1:10-11 says He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Don't be one of them. If you've never done so before, you can, right in the privacy of your own heart right now, just between you and God, say, God, I trust in your Son. I thank you for the price that he paid for me, and I receive that now. It is that simple. It's not about the prayer. It's about your sincerity in thanking God for what he's done for you. And if you've done that, if you've done that today, this morning, perhaps for the very first time, you've heard this message. Maybe you were like me and a little bit dense, okay? I'm criticizing me. I was dense. But maybe you are too, okay? Perhaps December 15th, 2024. Can be the day that transaction was made. Thank God for the gift. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Father, thank you for this passage. I thank you that it isn't complex. It's not a passage that has many interpretations. It has one interpretation. Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That is it. And Lord, through our faith in you, we are given the gift of eternal life with you rather than eternal life without you. Life with you in heaven rather than life without you in hell. And I pray, Lord God, that perhaps there are some here this morning that have allowed that transaction to take place. They've placed their faith in you and only you for their salvation from sin. And for that, I'm grateful. And I'm just going to quickly ask as we're praying here, as every head is bowed, and I'm even going to ask if you would please close your eyes. And this will not make you any more of a Christian, but I would like to know if you've done this today for the first time. And I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand in a minute, and I'm going to look up along with you, raise your hand. I just want to know so that I can be praying for you as you begin your new life, eternal life as a child of God. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to look up. You look up, raise your hand. Please let me know if you've done this. I want to pray for you. And now is the time. Anyone here like that this morning? Is there anyone here like that? This is the first time you have placed your faith in Christ. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Father, we are grateful for this message. I'm extremely grateful that the vast majority of the people here this morning apparently have already done that. And they are destined for heaven because of your Son. Thank you again for this passage and the clarity of it. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.